Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the Word today. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be here. Lord, as we stand here behind the pulpit, Lord, this sacred desk, Lord, and approaching it with all the respect that we know how, Lord, we're asking, Lord, for you to come and anoint us, Lord, to, as we would preach from the Word, dear God, anoint us with your thoughts, with your mind, dear God. Anoint our lips with your words, I pray. Lord, I pray for each and every one here. You know their hearts. You know their needs. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll help me to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. I want to read verses 10 through 13. What I want to speak on today is Jacob's election. Jacob's election. Verse 10. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Amen. You may be seated. It's a very strange passage of scripture to someone if they didn't have understanding of it. But how could God say before either boy was born that he loved one and hated the other? Well, we'll find that out today. And does God change his mind? Brother Branham says, Esau and Jacob, before either boy was born, before they even had a chance to make a choice, God said, I hate Esau and love Jacob. For he knew that what was in them from the beginning. Keep that in mind. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you mean. No matter what we say, he knows what we mean. Something to keep in mind. He knows what we mean. Amen. Sometimes people have a way of saying things to someone and they'll say it kind of laughing, like as if, oh, haha, I don't really mean it, but they do. God knows. And it's always caused trouble, and always the natural always tries since Cain to destroy Abel. The natural has always tried to destroy the effects of the spiritual. We find the same today, the very same thing today. It proves that it comes from Satan because it's jealousy and impersonation of the truth. Now, what about God's choice in us? He said, if God hadn't elected you to be a Christian, you would not be a Christian. It's God's choice, not yours. No man seeks God. No man seeks God at any time. You haven't sought God, but God has sought you. It wasn't you calling for God. It was God calling for you. And when God called you, it showed he elected you. Isn't that wonderful? When you know you've been called, that he called you, that shows you God elected you. You accept the call, it was justification. Then you gave your heart to Jesus Christ and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And now you're being positionally placed in the body of Christ. So that his election might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. Hebrews chapter 6 says, when God met Abraham, Abraham received the covenant without any merits at all. The covenant was made with Abraham. It's absolutely grace altogether. Abraham was not a better man. He was not a holiness man. He was just an ordinary man. The father of faith, as we call him, was just an ordinary man, just someone like you and I. And God, by election, chose Abraham because God elected him, not because Abraham wanted it, not because Abraham did this or that, not because he was a good man, not because he had any merit at all, but it was God's choice. God chose Abraham. God said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to choose you. I've already chose you. Not you've chosen me, I've chosen you to do this, and you're going to have a baby by Sarah, your wife. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving praise to God. Now listen, this is Jehovah Jireh. Now that's the reason we are Abraham's children, that the covenant cannot be never end, because it's unconditional. It isn't because you do something. It's because God did something. Not because you choose God, but God chose you. Just to show you how that God moves, Brother Branham says here, he said, it wasn't my choice to preach the gospel. It wasn't my choice to preach the gospel. That was God's choice. It's what God made me. I tried everything I could to get away from it, but there ain't no getting away from it. And earnestly contending for the faith. And I've got several quotes I want to read here, and then we'll really get into preaching. Not all are prophets, not all are apostles, not all this or that, but it's given. Those things are born in us by election. Gifts and callings are without repentance. How many scripture readers knows that? Let's see. Gifts and callings, not what you want to be. It's what God makes you. See, you are because God has chosen you to be, not because you chose to be. God chose you. And if you're trying to make yourself something God hasn't chose you to do, you're only a mimic, and it'll never be a success. You got to be what God chose you to be. There ain't no way of getting away from what God's chose you to be. When did he choose us? Did he choose us when we came to the altar? Did he choose us when we were born? Did he choose us when we, you know, maybe had done some good things? He called us and chose us in him before the foundation of the world and wrote our names on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He figuratively slayed the lamb before the foundation of the world for the sins of the people that would be. And God speaks a word, it's got to happen. And he spoke our names. And when he spoke our names, he chose us with him before the world began. So there's nothing we can say we could do. It's what he's done. This is a quote that I mentioned. The next one is a quote I mentioned Thursday night that I had been reading. And I kind of paraphrased it as best I could Thursday night from my memory. But here I want to read it. It's in The Lamb and the Dove. It says, "Thou hast redeemed us when we were unworthy, not worthy to be redeemed. And Father, we repent of all our sins. For we know since we've been redeemed, we have nothing by no means showed our appreciation of you redeeming us from the place that we were headed for." We haven't done enough to show our appreciation for him redeeming us from the place we were headed for. So when you don't feel like worshiping God, guess what? We don't go by feelings. People are always quick to point that out, you know, when they don't, they want to make an excuse for not really getting into something. You'll say, oh, well, we don't go by feelings. You're right, we don't go by feelings. If we don't feel like worshiping, we worship anyway, because we don't go by feelings. We worship because he's worthy. By thy amazing grace, thou hast brought us safe thus far. We believe you'll take us through. Because you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we might be a peculiar people, a holy people, a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice, the fruits of our lips, giving praise to his name. Now, Esau, if you look in the scriptures, just kind of read the lives of Jacob and Esau. Esau started out being a little better man than Jacob. But Esau didn't stay that way. But no matter what Esau, how he seemed naturally, God still chose Jacob. Because he knew what would be in Jacob. Why did he know that? Because Jacob was in the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. Because Jacob was chosen before the foundation of the world. The Bible says by election he chose, by his own choosing. Esau being the eldest, you know the story of how Esau was born. Jacob come forth, his hand on Esau's heel. And we'll get into a little bit of their struggle here in a little bit. But Esau rightly was in line for the birthright, being the firstborn. But Esau didn't care a thing about that birthright. It didn't mean nothing to him. But it meant something to Jacob. There's some people serving God don't mean a thing to them. Going to church don't mean a thing to them. They could take it or leave it. But there's other folks, they can't wait to get there. Amen. Why? Because they feed on the word. There's other people that don't even understand what it is when we say to feed on the word. What helps us from day to day through our life? Where do we get our instructions from to help us from day to day? It's from the word of God. In Marriage and Divorce, Brother Branham says, when he chose Jacob and rejected Esau before either boy had a right to make a choice himself, neither one of them, before they was born, still in the womb of their mother, God said, I hate Esau and I love Jacob. Why? Like he told Moses, I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion upon who I'll have compassion. It's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, and I want to begin reading at verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So Rebekah goes to ask the Lord, why is this going on in my womb? See, she would maybe thought from the pains and different things she was having that something was wrong. So here, if God had given her these children, then why was she having some difficulties? And so she went to inquire of the Lord. That's the first place we ought to go. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So here the Lord spoke to her and told her about the two twins, the twins that she had in her womb, and revealed to her something about them. He was revealing to her his choice before either one was born. But as you go on through the scriptures, you realize Rebecca never shared this revelation with Isaac. Or if she did, Isaac didn't value it much, because Isaac chose Esau. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after came his brother out, and his hand took a hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. What a reason to make a choice. Because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, in the natural, such a thing as this causes sibling rivalry. But here, Rebekah loved Jacob because what God had spoke to her. Esau was loved of his father Isaac because of natural things. But Rebekah loved Jacob because of something spiritual that had been spoke to her. God had revealed his election to Rebekah. Now let's look with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard what Isaac spake to Esau, his son. So when Rebekah heard this, she moved. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau and thy brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I have commanded thee. Go to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loved. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death." So now Rebekah, it looks like Rebekah's moving in a very deceiving way, but Rebekah was moving according to the election of God. God had elected Jacob. Through natural birth, Esau came first. But Esau was not in the mind of God. I know that may sound confusing to some, but Jacob, before the world began, God had chose Jacob. Now, there's a reason why God can do that. It's because he knows. God knows what you'll do and what you won't do before you're ever even born. He knows the choices you'll make. If he didn't know, then he wouldn't be God. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father preadventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse." In other words, if this happens, then let that curse be upon me. "But only obey my voice and go fetch them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now we know that Jacob went in posing as Esau. And Isaac asked, "Who is it?" He said, "Come near that I might fill of you." And he thought that it was Esau. But Rebekah was moving according to the plan of God. God had spoke to her. Now, another thing to show you, man's not perfect. Isaac was a prophet. But somehow Isaac's eyes, as he grew older, had grown dim. And Isaac couldn't see the spiritual applications on these two boys. Isaac looked at them from his heart in a natural way. Best of a super sign, Brother Bram says, God knew the end from the beginning, therefore he could plan everything, that it would work out just to his glory. That gives us courage to know no matter what comes or goes, God's making everything. The clock is ticking just exactly on time. It's wonderful, isn't it? Sometimes we get weary and upset, and we get hastily, and we think we must do this or that. And sometimes when we do this or that hastily, then we realize we come around the other end of it. Well, I shouldn't have done that. But remember, God's clock will be exactly on time, and all these things has to be this way. It all has to be done according to his great knowledge, his foreknowledge. For by foreknowledge, he could predestinate. Not by his desire, but his foreknowledge. God doesn't predestinate by his desire. He's not willing that any should perish. But his foreknowledge, he knew who would accept it and who would not. Therefore, he could make everything work according to his big time clock that's ticking away. For he could foretell the end from the beginning. Therefore, he knew that we'd live in this day. And he knew that this would be our day, and he had plans for this day, and he had plans for every day. And never has one of his plans ever failed. He's always on time. Again, looking at foreknowledge, says in the message of Jehovah Jireh, God called Abraham when he come down from Babylon, perhaps maybe out of a family of idolatry. And the Bible says the gifts and callings are without repentance. God, by foreknowledge, set in the church apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. By foreknowledge, God set them in. He knew every one of them before the world began. If God had this in his mind concerning the ministry before the world began, then that was before anybody ever got a thought that God wasn't using them anymore. He knew, as Romans 8 tells us, he hated Esau, loved Jacob before either boy was born. For his foreknowledge allows him to predestinate all things to work together to his glory. And that's the great Jehovah. It isn't him that willeth or him that runneth. It's God that showeth mercy. That's what the scripture says. So it isn't how much you try. It's how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Amen. And if you got enough of God to come here tonight, the desire to come hear the message, you ought to be the happiest person in the city, because that means God's moving in your life and he's trying to lead you to the fountain. He loves you. Says here in Jehovah-Jireh part 2, he says, now there's a doctrine of predestination which is rotten nonsense, but there's really is a true predestination. God by foreknowledge could predestinate because he has foreknowledge. God's not willing any should perish, but being an infinite God, knew that who would perish and who would not. That's the reason he said before Jacob or Esau was born, he hated Esau and loved Jacob. His foreknowledge let him know that Esau was a shyster and let him know that Jacob had respect to that birthright. Regardless of how he got it, he wanted it. Now, both boys, twins, born from the same holy mother and father, but one was a renegade and the other was a believer. Now, God, by his foreknowledge, knew that. Now, God, by foreknowledge, he doesn't set his business. You wouldn't do your business that way on a loose leaf like that. God knew by foreknowledge who would be saved, so he sent Jesus to catch those who he foresaw would be saved. Now we know the Bible tells us that Jesus died for the sins of the world. He died that the whole world might be saved. But there are folks that don't choose to come that way. They don't choose God. They don't choose to be saved. They choose the world. They choose the things of the world. They choose pleasure, which is only for a season. They choose this life, which is finite, over a life eternal. Now let's look in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. Now we'd said what Jacob had did, and that Jacob had went in. His father thought that it was Esau. His father gave him the birthright and also gave him the blessing. And we know prior to this, as the scripture first starts to talk about Esau and Jacob in the Old Testament in Genesis, it tells us that Esau was out hunting in the field. And Esau, coming in hungry, saw Jacob making some pottage. And so he said, give me some, for I am hungered to death. And Jacob said, if you give me the birthright, I'll give you some of this. That showed you just how much Esau thought of that birthright. He said, what good would it do me if I die? I'll take some of your soup. So Esau sold the birthright for a bowl of soup. And Jacob went in to get the birthright. And it wasn't so much Jacob getting the birthright that angered Esau. It was because Jacob got the blessing too. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. See there? Wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise and flee thou to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget what thou hast done to him, then will I send and fetch thee from hence. why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah says to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Now, there is a reason for her saying that. She already had two daughter-in-laws from the daughters of Heth, because Esau, prior to this, had already took and married two Hittites. And it said that it brought great grief to the souls of his mother and father. So she says, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So again, at this point, Rebekah may have thought she was just moving to try to save Jacob's life, but she was moving again. It was all according to God's plan. Now let's look in chapter 28, verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram, the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Now listen to this. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherewith thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. So now, Isaac had already gave Jacob the birthright, and he had already blessed Jacob. And now, when Rebekah comes to him and says, I don't want him to take a wife of these Hittites that are around us. Send him away that he might take a wife from amongst my brother's daughters. And Isaac, because he had already blessed Jacob and gave Jacob the birthright, he couldn't take it back. Remember when Esau came in and Isaac realized that he had given the blessing and the birthright to Jacob, Esau said, bless me too, my father. And Isaac says, I've already made your brother's servant. I've already gave him the blessing. Esau, the Bible tells us Esau tried to repent and wept bitterly. But you know, I've always said this, Esau was weeping because of the way things turned out. He didn't want that birthright. He was going to turn around and give it to Jacob anyway because he had done sold it to him. But what he wanted was the blessing. What he wanted was the wealth. But he didn't want the spiritual responsibility. Esau didn't want, you know why he didn't want that spiritual responsibility? Because he didn't want to serve God. He didn't care nothing about his grandfather Abraham and what God had said to him, or even what God had said to his parents. That didn't mean nothing to Esau. That's why Esau went out before any of this ever even happened. He had went out and took two daughters of the Hittites and married them, totally against what his parents' wishes were. Now that Jacob was sent away of his father and mother to go to get a wife of somebody besides somebody in the land, and in verse 6 we find out what Esau's reaction is to Jacob being moved by God's election, plan of election. And Esau saw that Isaac blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence. And that he blessed him and gave him charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife out of the daughters of Canaan. And Jacob obeyed his father and mother and was gone to Padan-Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then Esau went unto Ishmael and took unto him wives, which he had, Machalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister Naboth to be his wife. So here is the Esau who didn't have, Esau didn't have a desire to serve God. Here's his reaction unto Jacob going away in the, according to the plan of God and obeying his mother and father. So his reaction is, well, I'll just show them. I'll go marry me two more daughters from this land. It showed them all right. Showed them what was in Esau's heart. Election. Anytime I think about election, I think about the woman that came to the well of Jacob in the days of Jesus. And I think about that Jesus said, I have need to go by Samaria. That Jesus actually said, in other words, what he was saying is, I have a purpose. There's a purpose for me to go by Samaria. And so he goes there by Samaria, and he goes at a time when the other damsels have left and have already come and gone. And he waits. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for the very reason he came down there. And so here comes this woman to the well of Jacob. And as she comes, of course, we know that Jesus tells her, says, give me a drink. And we know the story, how it goes. He says, if you know who you were talking to, you'd ask me of a drink and I'd give you one you'd never thirst again. She says, you have nothing to draw with water from this well. Where is this water that you speak of? And then he tells her, go get your husband. He perceives what's wrong in the woman's life. She says, I have no husband. He said, you've spoke true. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And she goes and has, the reaction she has is, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. That's right. The reaction she has is that she goes down to the city and tells everyone, come see a man who's told me everything about my life. Right. Is this not the Messiah? That's her reaction. Brother Branham says, an identified Christ of all ages, says, the Pharisees had a little bit of light. They was good people, lived a good religious life, but had a little light about them. They had organized in a priesthood. They had a little light, but down in the bottom of their heart, they had no eternal representation in glory. So when they seen the supernatural done, they said, this man is Beelzebub, a devil. And what happened? That put out the little bit of light that they had. And here was this ill-famed woman down in her heart. Well, she had a representation of one of God's thoughts. There she was waiting sin. And when she seen that happen, she said, sir, I believe you're a prophet. I know when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things. What did he do? He cleansed her life. He was a redeemer to her because he could lift her up from where she come from. Proven his word, he says, Jesus spoke to her and said, you've told the truth because you've had five and the one you have now is not your husband. See, something happened. Something took life. If it hadn't have been in there to begin with, if she hadn't had representation from predestination, it would have never took hold. There stood the priest and said, this man's Beelzebub. See, they had no representation. They had no representation of eternal life. You always was. See, you have eternal life. There's only one form of it, and that's God. You were his attribute. He thought of you and knowed you before the foundation of the world in his mind. And she looked around, what a sinful shape she was in. But see, he couldn't get the priest because the priest, being an educated scholar and theologian, but had no representation in heaven, wasn't in God's thinking at all. So the difference between the woman at the well, who was sunk down deep into sin, and the priest, who seemed to be so religious, the difference was she had representation in heaven, and the priest didn't. I'll tell you what, the worst spirit there is in the world is religious spirit. When their eyes were open, he said, her name, because her name had been put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, she could recognize it right now. That little seed was laying back there, and all that vulgar dirt and everything like that. In the voice of the sign, he said, there was a seed laying there, a predestinated seed that was in God's thought before the foundation of the world. There's only one form of eternal life. If you got eternal life, then you yourself was in God's thinking before the world was created. You're an attribute of his thinking, because eternal never did begin or never could end. You're a part of God's economy always. Do I have representation in heaven? Do you have representation in heaven? The prophet said, "When after you recognized the very word of God was eagle food, and you left the other thing." So you can't just say, oh yeah, I know that's the truth. Right. You've got to leave the world. Amen. You got to leave the things of the world. Yes. You got to leave the religions of the world. Yes, sir. After you recognized the very word of God was eagle food, and then you left the other thing, you have then been formed into a living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany, from your representation. Hallelujah. Then why do we ever listen to Satan when he tells us, no, you're not one of them? No, you're not going to make it. Well, depends on what shape you're in. Where are you at with God? So there's a seed, he said, was laying there in that woman at the well. She had a seed there that could be quickened and brought to life. I don't know how much longer I can go. The message of why, Brother Ram says, way back in the beginning, before the world was created, you had in your mind, and then it was a thought. Then it was expressed. Then the expression became real. And now you put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And Father God, I pray tonight, if there's any seed laying here in this church tonight, I'm no judge, you are. I'm only responsible for preaching your word. But if there's any of that seed here tonight, Lord, I believe that light flashes over it. It's got to come to life. It'll see it sure as the world, because it's predestinated to see it. It's got to see it. Amen. Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, 1965, it says, is there any here tonight, Lord, that's holding in their heart that grain, that gene of God that's ordained to life from the foundation of the world? I know, Lord, that they're bound to hear at this hour. So I pray you'll fill their soul, illuminate them with a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, and send them on their road rejoicing and happy. When do you receive that seed? I've heard some say, well, Brother Branham put that seed in me. No, that's wrong. I've heard others say, well, this preacher or that preacher put that seed in me. Nope, that's wrong. Brother Branham begins to talk here in the Message of God, Rich in Mercy, 1965. And he says, when you was a little boy or little girl, you'd walk around here with certain things that wouldn't bother the other kids. It seemed like there was something in you cried out. There was God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. You remember that? Certainly. Now, what was that? That was that little form of life in you then. And after a while, you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to church, you picked out this and that, and went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being a part of God, you had to be a part of the word. And when you heard the word, you knew where you come from.
Yes, right.
And you know what was the truth.
Yes.
And you always were. That seed was in you always.
Amen.
You were born with it. Why? Because He called you, chose you before the foundation of the world. Not He didn't choose you because you were doing good. He didn't say, I'm not going to choose him because he's living so rotten. God, it ain't according to how where you were or what you were in. God calls you because you were in him before the foundation of the world. I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning, you're not where you should be with God, then you need to get there. Because I'll tell you, we're at the end time. We're at the time of leaving out of here. Running out of time. I think the saddest group of people is going to be those that knew about this message and don't make the rapture. The seed was in you always. The word seen the word that was in you that was before the foundation of the world saw the word and you come to it. Brother Graham says, it's like my little eagle story. And he goes on to talk about the difference between the chicken and the eagle. In the beginning, the difference was in the beginning he was an eagle already. He just didn't know it. But he had to hear a voice. A voice that called, that and there was something deep in him that responded back to that voice. The clucking of the chickens never had that effect on him. But when he heard that voice, it had an effect on him, and he realized, I didn't come from down here, I came from up there. And that's the way it is, he said, with every born-again believer. You can hear all the theology you want to, all the man-made discrepancy, but when the word flashes out there, there's something takes a hold. You come to it. You were once dead in sin. That life has he quickened. There has to be a life there to quicken to first. God, by foreknowledge, knowed all things, and we were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. Ye who were once dead in sins and trespasses wherein we all had our times past, but hath he quickened to life.
Amen.
Now let's look back in Genesis chapter 28. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, God stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places wherever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. What was this? God. Now, Isaac had said, let God bless you with the blessing of Abraham. But then when Jacob has this experience and this dream, then God speaks to him and does indeed give him the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Why? Because God had already chose him. Now, I want to make this clear. By foreknowledge, God does know what you will and what you won't do or choose. But you choose what you choose because God already chose you. Your choice reflects his choice. Because he chose us before the foundation of the world. And we choose what we choose because of who we are. We choose to serve God because of who we always was. We always were a child of God. We don't become a child of God. You had to be born already a child of God. And God calls you because you were in him before the beginning. And you choose him because of who you are. That ought to let you know this morning who you are. I love the scripture that lets us know who we are. I love the scripture that says, blessed are you when they speak evil of you. Leap for joy. Why? Because so did they of the prophets. It shows what group you're in. Hallelujah. So here he gives him the blessing of Abraham because he was ordained to receive the blessing of Abraham. And it was an unconditional covenant. And spiritually speaking, we're under the blessing of Abraham. Not the natural blessing of Abraham, but the spiritual blessing of Abraham. Genesis chapter 32. I have to get this in before I close. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Now this is when Jacob was coming back to the land where Isaac and Rebekah had been. And he's coming back, but he fears Esau. He fears what Esau might do to him. So he sends the caravan on ahead of him, across the river, and he stays on this side of the river. And then this happens. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob wrestled for a blessing. I like that song, He Would Not Be Denied. Hallelujah. This is all these things that happened in Jacob's life was because of God's election. It's because God had elected Jacob. Everything that takes place in our lives reflects our election. Reflects whether you're ordained of God or not. Amen. I know there's some that have, in this time era, have left the message. And one of the things they don't like is the whole thing about election, predestination. But I don't know what they're going to do with it because those words are in the Bible. So I guess you just have to rip them pages out of the Bible if you don't like them words. But see, where they have a problem is they say, well, you know, we should all have a choice. We all do have a choice.
Amen.
Everyone has a choice. Cain had a choice. God said, if you worship like your brother, I'll accept you too. Cain had a choice. But what did Cain do with his choice? Cain turned around and said, well, I'll show you, God. You'll receive my worship because I'm going to be the only one left to worship you because I'm going to kill Abel. You'll accept me the way I am. Accept my worship the way I give it to you. They still do it today. On my way into church, I always drive by a certain congregation, this church, and I see the people gathering, parking, and walking in to go to church, and I see how they're dressed. And they wear just about anything to church. And it's accepted. Go to church looking like they're trying to attract the opposite sex, and what they should be doing is reverencing God. But what they're doing is saying, well, this is the way I worship. God accept me this way. Well, you know God's a God of love. You know that. Like they say, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus one time went into a church and tore the thing upside down. He said, you've turned, it's supposed to be a house of prayer, and you've turned into a den of thieves. And he braided a whip and ran them all out. Well, they don't have to worry about that because he isn't going to darken their door because he ain't welcome there. God has blessed us. We ought to remember that. And everything we do, that God has blessed us. God's blessed this little church here. It was God that put this together. Not me. It was God that called you and brought you and placed you here. You didn't come here because of me. Some of you have maybe had problems with me at first. Trying to understand what kind of man I was. But I've been around you long enough now, you ought to know. This year, it's already passed. The first time I came here and preached was on Labor Day weekend 19 years ago. This October will be 19 years that I came here, and remember I said I came at the end of September, beginning of October, and I said, well, if you want me to be your pastor, we'll go for a 30-day trial. And then we'll take a vote. So we're going on 19 years. That's been a long time. I'm glad the time has passed. I no longer have to live with ghosts. Amen. I tell you what, I love you. I love you people here. I love this church. I miss my family up in Ohio. And I love going up there to visit. I love visiting that church up there. But here's where I've set down roots. And I got grandbabies I can't leave. I think if I left, probably half the church might get up and move with me. But I ain't going nowhere. I come here for God to use me. And that's why I'm here to stay, for God to use me. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Nate, prepare to come. I know it just seems like I just got home, but I got an announcement to make to you. On the 24th of October, I'm going to be leaving with my brother and going to the Philippines for a couple of weeks. And it'll be the first mission trip I've been on since 2011. But Brother Roel had called me and talked to me and wanted me to come, and he'd asked my brother to come. And they're having some meetings over there, and he wanted us to come. And he said, Brother Roel told me, Brother Jerry, we ain't forgot about you in the Philippines. It's been years since I've been there. And I haven't counted up to how many years it's been, but it's been quite a few years. Last time I was there, Brother Phil was there with me. And I don't know if that was 2002, maybe, something like that. So it's been about 15 years or so since I've been there. But he said, we ain't forgot about you. We want you to come back. And so the Lord just made a way for us. The price of the ticket was less than half of what I paid before. When I went over there before, I think it cost me around $2,100, $2,200 for the trip. This time it's a little over $900. Less than half of what it cost me before, just the Lord making a way. And so my brother and I both are going to be going over there. It's going to be the first mission trip that he and I make together. He's been on some trips and I've been on some trips, but this will be the first time we were together. So I just want to let you all know that, and you can keep us in prayer. Amen. Amen. Brother Nate, go ahead.
It's been a while since I've sung this song.
Came in and shout under.
it's funny that he mentioned the song. It would not be denied because it just so happened yesterday that it popped in my head. I don't know where. It's number 17 in this big red book. You don't know what you
mean. When pains of death seize on my soul.
Satan, Satan.